just in the infancy of learning how to lift. I'm talking like learning to back squat. They just learned how to trap bar deadlift, and they're going to start loading their back with a barbell. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I see it all the time. I don't know about you guys see it. But I see a lot of like really intermediate to advanced, I can see. And I don't know what your perception is on belts, but...
Preference.
It's all preference.
Preference.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's preference. I mean, if you don't think you need one, then run with not having one. Why not?
Do you ever need one, though?
I guess it depends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not...
I'd argue it. Yeah, I would argue for, like...
I can argue both sides of the coin.
Easily.
And I think that, definitely. Like, anybody can. Anyone that has been into it a little bit long enough. Like, for example, like, I deadlifted with a belt for the longest time. I had an issue where I started feeling uncomfortable under a certain weight that I shouldn't have, which was significantly below my one rep max, where I felt like I needed to have it. So it now became a security blanket for me. Mm-hmm. And I recognized there, like, man, it's like, am I lacking core stability? Am I not strong enough in my core? Am I using the belt to, you know, provide that additional stability?
Well, I guess the one thing you could say is the better you are without a belt, the better you will be with it.
No doubt about
but
it.
But not necessarily the other way around.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
that's a really good...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're really good without a belt, then when you go to put the belt on, you already know how to brace. Mm-hmm. You already use it. But if you never work without it, and then you take it off, you might rely solely on the belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And it's like, is a belt masking something? Like, for me, it was masking severe... Well, for one, it was learning how to control my breathing. Because I was using the belt to actually increase the abdominal pressure.
Could have been too tight, too. You know what I mean? You're not getting enough breath.
Yeah. And then, and also, like I said, it was a psychological factor. But I get a lot of people that have learned to squat perfectly with a barbell on their back, or like being able to like get in the hole. Like, it goes back to, I always revert back to social media, and like I watch my favorite lifter, and he has SPD sleeves, and I need to have SPD sleeves, or they have Ray-Ban sleeves, and I gotta have Ray-Ban sleeves, or they have, you know, Iron Rumble, and I gotta have Iron Rumble. I need to slot something on now before they even, you know, you got someone that's barbell back, you know, back squatting fucking 135 pounds, and it's like, let's just, let's slow down. Like, let's learn to get strong first. Like, are you using it as a cushion? You know.
Yeah, let's learn the technique and the things we need to do before we worry about what kind of gear we're going to use.
Yeah.
You know.
I think Squat University actually just posted something that said, if you can't squat 85% of your one rep max without a belt, you have no business going up in weight. And
I would agree to a point.
Yeah, to a point.
I agree to a point, because I've seen, like, you're 87.5%.
Yeah. Right, it's
massive
different.
Number.
It's
like
different.
To load on your body. Like,
I would agree, as somebody who's newer into lifting, I would say that definitely makes sense. But if you're talking about, you know, guys that are squatting 8,000 pounds.
That's different.
It's a slight difference, you know. But
if anyone doesn't know, Mike squats about 900 pounds, so...
Rumor has it. So.
I think my knees just buckled.
So the thought of it, like, you know, Mike's going to have to do around, like, 780 pounds without a belt on, it makes me kind of look queasy. So.
Yeah, 100%. It was a good, like, it was definitely like a good post, like, for especially, like, people starting out.
Like, well, I guess I would say, too, it's possible. I want to say it's not, like...
I wouldn't say it's impossible by any means.
You know, if I squatted 900 and I said, okay, I'm going to squat 750 without a belt, then you train for that. You know what I mean? You prepare your core and you get ready to do that. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it. But
yeah.
You know what I see with belts too is that, you know, not only do I need a belt, but then I'll see people just grab any old belt and it might not be the right size for them.
The old Vallejo belts.
The Vallejos, yeah.
Like
Velcro.
Yeah, or like we have the Iron Bowl belt, the green one that Doc. That one fits me perfectly.
Yeah.
It fits right, so that way it gets like right under my shoulder blades, and like right in that sweet spot where I've always had like issues for me. But then we have some of those big like Harbinger belts, like
they're
skinny and then they get wide in the back.
I've actually taken those off the floor and somehow they just like made their way slowly but surely.
It's always them old timers.
It's like, you know, my back pain. I'm like, you should strengthen your back. I'm like, why you don't rely on the belt? Like, you know, it's like guys that came up, they're like lifting boxes, like got the straps on, they're walking like they're mummified. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
You know, I guess the other big thing was to make sure you're wearing it properly.
Yeah.
100%.
You know what I mean? If it's too tight and you can't get a breath, then it's pointless. And if it's too loose and you can't get any pressure on it, it's also pointless. There's a...
Yeah. I've noticed, too, a lot of people now, like, I see guys wearing a super high.
Yeah.
Like, really high. And I don't know if that's just for deadlifting or...
It's more of a deadlift thing.
Right. Just to get... If you have a gut or whatever, it's in the way.
I think it's more for less, you know, the lower you wear it... Now you got it over there. Now you have to reach down to the bar, where if you put it up a little higher, you might be able to still get to the bar easier.
Yeah. And now you're getting more, I guess you get more thoracic pressure.
It's more for those tubby guys, you know?
Little tubbies, yeah. I stopped deadlifting with a belt, and I'll be honest with you, now I'm at the point now where I can't deadlift with a belt on.
You.
I mean, I can.
Can, but
I do not
yeah.
feel comfortable breathing right. without yeah. it, and I feel like I brace myself enough when I'm in the deadlift. But when I go and squat... I can get a way better. I can push into that belt a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because another thing too is like a lot of people, like I said, the question about the belt is they want to yank on it. They want to yank on it. Use it only solely for the pressure of the belt rather than actually increasing the pressure and pushing into the belt and creating more pressure. Now it should be tight, I'm sure, but like, how tight do you want that belt? You know.
I wear a little bit looser for deadlifting and tighter for squatting. That's what I do.
Yep.
I feel like if it's too tight when you're deadlifting. You just can't get down. Right. Yeah.
You're bending over a lot. It's a different movement. It's a totally different movement as far as your, you know, the upper body goes, as far as your trunk goes. Now I like watching people too, like even talking about lifting and seeing things on social media. It's like I'll watch a few videos and I'll watch Mike like bench and he's got chains on. It's like I want to bench with chains. I don't know what it does, but I want it looks cool. Like he's rattling chains around. Like people look at the chains, like what is that for? You know,
I see Larry Wheels benching with bands. Yeah. I'm gonna bench with bands.
You know
what I
mean?
He benches 600. I can do it too. You know,
that guy's making so much noise with those chains. That's me. That's gonna be me.
And the bands just look, you know, like the bands in the carryover. I guess the biggest question is for a lot of people to understand what those bands are doing or what those chains are doing.
Well, it's pretty
simple. The difference between the two and where the carryover's coming
from.
It's
strictly for the gram. No, I'm just kidding.
For some
for the
people.
Gram, yeah.
For
but,
some people, for sure.
No, yeah, I mean...
Like, when you see a lifter bench pressing, okay, so you're evaluating a lifter and you've seen people do it, like, at what point do you say, I need to prescribe banded or chain work for this person?
There could be no point.
Okay.
They're
is
not
it more like a force generation. Like I'm going to generate more force with using bands. So I'm pushing up and loads adding, or
yeah, you're just when you use bands or chains, you're recruiting other muscles that you might not normally in a regular bench press, and you're loading the top half of the lift,
right?
So your lockout or your mid range to your lockout, you know what I mean? But that could also be accomplished without using bands and chains too in other ways. There's you know spoto presses, close grip presses. It's really just preference on the lifter. It might work for you, but not work for Kevin.
Right.
What works for Kevin might not work for you. It can get real specific, and that's where people tend to, I guess, make their mistake. You know what I mean? They'll see someone benching with chains 1 week. They go to do it. They don't really like it. So the next week they see the guy benching with bands. So the very next week. They're benching with bands, but how do they know? I mean, they didn't stick with it long enough to even know if it worked or not.
100%. I couldn't agree more with that. You know? Giving your even a specific program, like program hopping, it goes right down to if you're intuitively training, where you go in the gym like, I feel like training chest today. I feel like training hamstrings today. It's like those intuitive lifts. So you got to give yourself time to actually progress and overload on one.
At least 4 weeks.
Right. At least
4 weeks of the same movement to know whether you have any kind of benefit from it or not.
Yeah. And at what point, how often do you use it? You know what I mean? Like, I used chains the other day, and I felt like when I put the chains on to do chain lifts, I felt really unstable on my on the descent on my bench because it was moving. And when I pressed up, it was all over the place. I'm like, okay, now I can see the carry over here because obviously the chains are going to rattle. But I know that when I get heavier and I can put myself in those different uncomfortable places, I know that if a bench starts to get away from me, I can correct that. That's how
right.
I felt. That's
well,
how I
and you know, I would say too, if you've only been lifting for a short amount of time, you probably shouldn't even be benching with bands or chains. Though I would think those are more for the moderate to advanced lifter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If you haven't perfected your form, your technique, and everything without them, then adding them is only going to make it worse.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be. I hate like bands. I don't like benching with bands. It freaks me out.
How about like if you see a carry or would you see yourself prescribing those to people? And if not, why?
Yeah, yeah, I would prescribe. For me personally, I just when I get past that like that or to that second half, I just feel weird.
Well, you ever see like a lot of guys
really like creeped out by
like I bet like the first time you ever use band John Rack to wait, and as soon as John Rack, you're like
just boom. Yeah,
exactly. You're like, what is going on here? You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on.
Definitely.
But.
I mean, maybe I need to work on my like I don't know stabilizer muscles, but it just with chains like I haven't benched with chains in a while.
I love chains.
I prefer chains because bands again like when you take that off, it's just all I like to get set.
I think neurologically, that's a whole different ball game than just going from a barbell and adding another 100%. Plate.
But again, what you guys said earlier is like maybe I just need to give it more time. Like maybe I just need a bench with bands for like 4 weeks.
Let your body.
Yeah, maybe even. I mean, if
it creeped me out once,
you were solely committed to it, like maybe 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah,
give it a shot, and then you would really know. Like, you do 4 to 6 weeks, and then maybe you try something. You go back to a regular bench, and you kind of feel it out, and you're like, I don't know if this is it. It's more of a struggle for me than it is a benefit, you know.
Right.
But
maybe you guys know, like, what happened to like. Four straps, man. Like, the overloaded four straps.
I mean, I think there's a time.
I haven't seen it in a while.
When I go and write someone's program, and now, granted, from an online platform, it's challenging. Now, if I'm working one-on-one somebody, I know. Perfect. Okay, so, for example, if I'm working someone through an RPE range, and I say, I want you to reach a rating of perceived exertion of about 9, we know what true 9 looks like, okay? There's two people in the world. Either they do it looks like they're on the struggle bus coming up for one. They go, that was like an 8.5. It's like,
you were at 10. Yeah, yeah.
That was a 10. You were trending 11. Like, I see that, but I also see on the opposite end of the spectrum of they get to 10 and they look like about like 4 more in the tank and they rate that, okay, that's a 9 RP, but they're not really paying attention yet. And there's a lot of research now that shows that, you know, from a performance standpoint, that we're not great at judging that 7 to 8 RP, which is understandable.
Yep.
We know 9. We know like that 10.
Yep.
Especially when we have a spotter, obviously we can go.
Well, 9 would be 9 is very easy to judge because 9 would be like most guys think a 1 rep max is a 10. It's not.
Right.
A 10 is like you fit. That's the most you
can
fit.
That's basic AMRAP.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Where a 9 is like you're on your own 1 rep max, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
And so that's easy to gauge. It's the middle range where people get tend to get them confused, and you know you see guys they'll rate it an 8, and you're probably like, man, like
that looks a little bit.
That looked like a 9, or they'll rate it 8 or 9, and you're like, I don't know, I thought you could have did like 5 more.
Right,
should have been a little bit lower.
I've also been in a situation where I watch my squat and it looks a lot faster than what it feels like for me personally. So I definitely get that, and I don't, like I said, I don't pass judgment too much. I investigate if it's a client of mine. Mm-hmm. But going back to force reps, one thing I'm cautious about, like I will work force reps on a machine or something that doesn't require a spotter. Only because the one thing I worry about through force reps is risk of injury.
Right.
You know what I mean? At what point do we start risking injury? You know what I mean? That's the only thing that goes through my mind.
I would say force reps are within your respected sport, I guess I would say. Bodybuilding or powerlifting. Mm-hmm. Force reps, you're trying to make the muscle grow.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like strength training and powerlifting, I don't know if I would do too many force reps because.
So if you're in a hypertrophy block, and we dub this kind of like a bodybuilding style workout, we're working that 8 to 12, 8 to 15, maybe even plus, where we're doing force reps on lighter weight. We're so fatigued, like you might feel like, you know. Yeah. I would say, I guess it would come down for me is like percentage of the lift. Like, at what percentage you're lifting. Like, I wouldn't force rep if I was doing like doubles or triples in a heavy, like 85 to 90% rep range. Like, that right there to me is like a force. I might get a half a rep out of the last.
I don't think I would force rep. Me personally would be anything. I'm the type of person where it's like you either do it on your own or you don't.
Right.
You know, if you have a set of 8 and you can only do 6 or 7. And you got to force an 8th or a 9th rep, like then I think you should have cut it at whatever you can do on your own. And maybe that's just being in the strength sport, the powerlifting sport. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everything is to a everything is, I guess, designed a certain way to where, you know what I mean? You do it on your own. It's one rep.
You know, meat day.
Yeah.
Especially too, and I think a lot. And it's a good point too, because it brings up like the psychological aspects of like going into like strength training program. Mm-hmm. Like, I generally trained like a bodybuilding style workout, but it was more of like a power building. So I always did my big three, but I always kind of structured those lifts in because I enjoyed them, and I knew like I knew that if I did deadlifts and squats in the same week, I was still getting at least 2 days of somewhat like some kind of hip hinge movement or leg movement from that. I could double up on those.
Yep.
It's going to be the death of me.
But the thing is, like, I knew that if I had a specific lift going to this contest or meet prep, that if I didn't hit my numbers, dude, that was probably the most discouraging thing, because you know that's not the number you got to hit for on the day of your meet. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, forced reps for me might actually carry over to another day. So if I forced rep squats or I forced rep bench, like, is that going to carry over and destroy my lifts later on in the week?
And that would be,
yeah,
that's my biggest pet peeve in terms of powerlifting. Yeah. I personally don't think if you're getting ready for a competition or a powerlifting meet, you should not miss lifts in the gym. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I see it all too often, you know, six weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks out, even 3 or 4, guys are trying to shoot their load in the gym, and they're missing lifts.
Yep.
They're missing deadlifts and benches and squats. And then the second they start missing, they go into a whirlwind of mental state.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I've been doing this for 10 weeks. Why am I missing this? Why am I missing that? That's why everything has to be so strategic, you know, on your numbers. And
yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
Where as far as I've never done a bodybuilding show, and I don't know, but I guess, like, if you're training for that, you're training for muscle growth, or, like...
Mm-hmm. It's a similar thing, and the way I would interpret that is if you're training for a bodybuilding show and you're training off the cuff and you're kind of just going intuitively, like I say, it's not right, because you should be periodizing just as hard during that as you would for powerlifting. Now, powerlifting, not all... in general, seems to be more of a linear approach.
It's all about the number.
Right. So as you go, you're obviously your skill and your approach is always going to be the same. You're going to be elevating that. As you get closer to the show, you want to make, or your meet, you want to continue to, you know, do proper reps. You're not, you know, cutting squats short. You're not, you know, you're not bouncing benches off your chest, things like that. And as you get closer to the meet, your weight goes up. Now, with bodybuilding, you still want to be able to get that amount of volume and still supply the same amount of mechanical tension you possibly can, because if you don't supply that stimulus, you're going to start losing muscle.
Right.
Yeah. The same thing, and with powerlifting, assuming you're close to your weight, which you probably should be relatively close or comfortable enough to cut to that weight, you won't necessarily go through those things. Now, I will see a reduction in strength during, like, a long cut, but I don't see that until...
Well, it's lack of calories, too. Yeah.
Lack of calories, lack of, you know, your RMR is going down. Lots of things are going down. You're having a down regulation and just spontaneous movement. Mm-hmm. But you should also be very cognizant that just because I'm dieting doesn't mean I should be losing my strength off the bat.
Right.
Because training in order to keep muscle growth is that... Training is the metabolic intervention that allows us to maintain muscle mass.
Right.
And it perhaps even gain some in a contest prep. Okay? So those are things that we should all be aware of. So it's a little bit different. So the training stays intense, and it's uncomfortable as all hell, because now you're dieting hard because it's 24 hours. You know, you're looking at sleep. You're looking at, you know, food intake. Calories are under a microscope. You're doing cardio. You're probably doing more cardio, and you're going beyond. I mean, if I had to get show lean to make a weight for, like, a powerlifting meet, man, my numbers would be vastly off, you know?
Yeah, so it's the complete opposite, if anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt about
it. Hell, I mean, the first 30 pounds I lost... I was stronger, and I felt better than ever. But then, obviously, the next 30, or like 20 to 30, then
you gotta look at it too. Like, you gotta look at it too.
Joints started hurting.
Well, then the weight started to take their toll.
I didn't have any fat on my joints. So, like, the compression is gone. I'm like, God,
you go from 28 to 58 real fast. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But,
no doubt about it. And I even, too, like... going back to, like, the training and things like pet peeves and stuff, one of the pet peeves of mine is I notice, like, a lot of people one rep maxing all the time.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a continuous thing. And now, listen, I'm not going to say it's a, like, I'm not saying I never did that, because...
Let me add to that, right? I have a big issue with the same people that... might hit a 2 rep max or a and they're like, ah, bro, I didn't max out. It was a 2 rep max, but it was still
rep max,
all out max.
Yeah, you hit 10.
You know what I mean? So if 1 week you're doing a 2 rep max and the next week you're doing a 1 rep max and then you're going back to a 2 rep max, that's you're training over 95%. Every week.
In that range.
There's no benefit to that.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no benefit to that.
Yeah.
Gotta burn yourself out.
And I see that all the time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, man, like, you know, why do you bench heavy every week? And they're like, I don't. And I'm like, well,
you do.
What do you mean? And they're like, well, my max bench is 390. And I'm like, but you just did 385. It's the same thing, pretty much. You know what I mean? Just because you hit 390 on one day, it's you're still within it's that still 95%. Yeah.
Still heavy. Like, I mean, I've done it. Like,
I think we've all done it at one point.
He's always doing it for bicep curls. He's constantly
maxed out every week.
Well,
look, I mean, it pays off, so you can't. Right? Right?
I'm like the last person to even say anything, so it's all good.
I'm getting up to the 60s, bro. But yeah, and it's tough, man. It's ego. Like, I've had to do it, or I've had to take like clients and say, all right, let's back off. Like, there's a few times where. Like, they're just having fun, and, like, 1 week we'll, like, max out, and they're like, I want to test it again. And I'm like, all right, like,
now you're in a 2 weeks ago. Now you're in a situation where you're like, okay.
Yeah.
My client's feeling good.
Yeah, man.
You want to encourage them. But it's like, they're not proper programming is going to give you so much more. Like, I know that if I were to max out every week, I may see, like, a slight increase here and there, but I'm definitely going to see some interference.
Yeah.
From just putting that much strain on me. You know what I mean?
There's so many factors that go into play.
Yeah.
The one thing that shed a lot of light on that was doing full body workouts. Mm-hmm. I did full body workouts for like a 6 week cycle. And the first week, I'm like, what am I even doing? I'm doing a couple sets here, a couple sets here, a couple sets here, a couple sets here. Until I hit like 2.5, maybe like just 2 weeks. Yeah, probably midway through week two. Yeah. I'm starting to see like, wow, that's it is a lot of accumulation of volume.
Mm-hmm.
By week four, you're
shooting down ibuprofen three times a day, you know what I mean?
Like, pain-wise, yeah, I adapted to it pretty well, and I was able to progress. But I did see a strength increase, so for me, that was cool. I liked the frequency. I also like to go and do a full back workout or a full pull, you know what I call them, but
yeah.
A full back workout, and I really enjoyed that feeling, you know what I mean? It gave it about 48 to 72 hours before I hit it again. I enjoyed that, but I also know, like, by doing, you know, even, like, starts of, like, preps or, like, my meat prep and I started with eights, I'm like, wicked easy. It's easy. It's simple lifts. But it's like, I feel like I wasn't doing anything. I think that gets in a lot of people's minds. Like, I didn't do anything like mm-hmm. I used to. Maybe that's my mindset because I was used to doing that. Hitting that threshold of 9 RP on most working sets. Maybe that's me. I don't know. I think it's maybe different for everybody. I'm sure there is some ego involved in some people, but not...
Well, and I think, you know, as far as... and I'm sure you could attest this, and you could attest this. I mean, the hardest... to take people back off that ledge.
Yeah.
They want to go heavy all the time and go heavy and heavy. And you're like, I understand that, but to if you have a certain goal in mind to get you to that goal, we got to do the shitty stuff first.
Right.
We got to do the reps and the work, and we'll get there eventually. It's just...
Everything's programmed for
reason. Right, right.
And this is why... sell this little pitch here. This is why you hire a trainer.
You hire a trainer. A Renda Online, if you're looking for a coach, I don't know.
Or Upstate Armor
Fitness. Yeah, or Upstate Armor Fitness.
Either one. We can both supply the plans.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, like, as a personal trainer, like, I'm working with these clients all the time, so, like, they're having fun. They're having a great time. They're like, I had never hit... you know, 315 before. I want to try 325 this week. And, like, it's like, it depends on, like, how, like, the first couple sets go. And, like, sometimes I'll just be like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's try it. Well, like, you're on the ledge, but then, like, after, like, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks of them saying that, it's like, all right, let's dial it back. You know, let's
test this again in four to five weeks.
Exactly. You know, that's definitely a tough divide because, I mean, we've all been there where we're getting stronger or doing things. Yeah, for me,
being off program, I'll work up to a heavy single. Like, I'll do a couple, you know. Yeah. But I also like to do, like, continuous heavy singles. Like, those feel mm-hmm. good. We've done these before, like, just lifting. I had to cut it short one day. I worked up to the heaviest thing I ever went, and then Mike does it for, like, another, like, 8 singles. I just walked out of the gym at that point. I left. I was like, yeah, Mike's... in my head, I told him Mike's done, so...
My problem with that, like, what... It's just like, you know, if I was coaching Kevin and I lay out 10 weeks for Kevin, right? And I got a progressive plan, and then week 5, he wants to max out. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, let's do it, right? Mm-hmm. Now we max him out on week 5 out of 10. It throws the next 5 weeks
and
complete. You got to change the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying?
100%,
and everything. The other thing that makes it difficult too is, which for you, it's probably a little bit better because you work with a lot of your clients one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So you're in the gym. They're like, I'm going to max out. You're like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Put that weight back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas if I just write somebody a program, they could tell me that they didn't do it, but I might not necessarily know. I will the next week.
When you see it on the gram, you're going to know it. You're going to run into it.
If it goes good, it's going to be on the gram. If it's not so good,
then... You can't follow me on Instagram and not think I'm going to see these things. Like, I see you.
Yeah.
If it goes well. If it doesn't go well, it definitely doesn't make
it. Don't tag me in that shit.
Yeah, there's no hashtags. So.
You can put like, just put like TBT, question mark? Was this a throwback Thursday?
How many times have you had somebody, especially with macros, great example, right? How many times have you had someone come to you and say, Brian, I want to lose weight. I want to get stronger. How do I have to eat? And you're like, okay, here's your macros. Boom, boom, boom. Week one, they're like, I'm not losing any weight. Week two, I'm not losing any weight. And you're like, hey, are you hitting your macros? And they're like, of course. Of course I'm hitting them. Right. But behind the scenes, they're out to dinner. They're drinking. Right. And then 6 weeks later, 8 weeks later, when there's no progression, who do they blame?
It's always the coach.
Always the coach.
It's always the coach. But the thing is, too, is like, I've had it a lot when we began. And I was like, okay, so I always take my clients' word for it. Obviously, in the back of our head, we got to think, okay, there could potentially, and listen, we always weigh out the idea of the options of where this could be, right?
There's got to be a little leeway.
Plan C, plan D, there's a plan Z, right? But always, I always wait to the last minute. So, but if you're going to, you know, if I'm seeing you on social media, you're out partying or whatever, or you're local, right. I'm like, so you could be going out to dinner, sure, but like, what are you choosing? Do you know what you're doing? How advanced are you? So, like, I always tell people like, the first 3 to 4 weeks, don't dine out. Don't eat things you didn't plan or prepare for or prepare yourself. And just weigh everything to a gram and to a T so you know exactly what we're doing. So now if we had anything that throws you off, we can actually narrow it down. So now if we reintroduce alcohol after 2 weeks, you were making progress for 2 weeks. Now you introduce alcohol on the weekends. It's like, okay, your progress has slowed down on 2 days, which is nearly 30% of your week. This is the problem. This is the problem. Now we can narrow down, like, okay, let's go to 1 day, allow yourself to have some drinks, enjoy the weekend or whatever, accounted for. And then if you're making progress here, now we can move forward. Okay, now we knew that we overdid it. We overdid something somewhere. Because it's not just alcohol. It's the whole lack of inhibition when you eat alcohol and you're next thing you know, you're McDonald's, you black out, you go through the McDonald's drive thru and order like 40
pieces. Well, you got to hope for honesty, too, that they're being honest with you.
Honesty is key. And the thing is, like, even from a coaching standpoint, you would rather get honesty than someone making you guess.
100%.
Because now it's like you're sitting there stewing. Like, the thing is, like, I will think about client situations far after they did the report. I'm like, okay, it's in your mind. It's constantly in your mind. Like, your clients are going to be training, and are they going to go and go off plan? Is it going to screw up your plans? Because your plan's not just, here's the week. Your mind is set for 8 weeks down the road. Where's this person going to be? Like, you're constantly playing chess. You have 15 different movements ahead of where they're at now. Execute this plan so we can get to this plan, so we can get to that plan. You build on those weeks. So if you're, screwing around, it could potentially throw your plan off.
Yeah.
And that's a conversation to have, like, right out of the gate. And for the most part, most people, if they're paying money for a service, they're going to follow that service. Now, it may be totally different from what they're doing, so they're going to want to, like, this is not enough. I want to do more. I get that a lot with, like, the bodybuilders. They want to do endless amounts of work, and they don't want to take rest. They want to do 2 days. It's like, you're not growing just when you train.
Yeah,
rest.
You're growing when you rest.
The rest is, and it's the same thing. I didn't mean to go into the macro talk there, but it's the same thing when you're training someone. You don't want them to go off and max out, 4 weeks before a meet or something like that. But if they do, you need them to be honest, so that you can reprogram them so that they can go into the meet, feeling like they want. And back to the resting, man, I'll do a program for someone and they're like, 4 days a week, that's it.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, this is not what you think it is, it's you not, know what I mean? Yeah. If you want to get stronger and bigger, this is then the rest of you, the rest is the most important thing.
When I moved to 4 day week training from so I was doing before, like I'd work my shift, I'd go push, pull legs, rest, push, pull legs. And it was an 8 day cycle, and I like putting people on this for specific reasons. I was seeing progressions, but I never saw progressions like I did when I went to a 4 day a week program. Mm-hmm. Now I went from 6 days to 4 days.
Yeah, man.
And on those 2 days, I would do some things like I would stay active or whatever.
Active recovery, yeah.
Right. I would still do things like, you know, I'd do like either do cardio or I'd be moving around more. I wasn't like a slug. But I saw massive increases in strength, and that was a recovery process. And it was just allowing my body, you know, neurologically just to get ready for another lift. You know what I mean? It was, especially towards the end, like I ended up doing like, what it was like 3 weeks out, I think it was. Ish, and I did one rep max on the it wasn't even one rep max, it was more of like a what my opener would be.
Opener deadlift. Yeah.
Like, all right, cool, I feel comfortable here. And for me, that was like an affirmation of like, okay, I know now what I'm gonna end up going at the meet.
I've seen success on 3 days a week.
Yeah.
I
mean, I used to train with a guy out in Syracuse at Hercules. Shout out to Jason Weaver. They would come in on Mondays and they would do all three lifts. Squat, bench, and deadlift on Mondays. And they call it Meat Monday.
Yeah.
And then if they made it in the rest of the week to do some accessory stuff, they would. But, you know, they would get their work in and their recovery was huge. And, I mean, it worked for some of them older guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's
careful.
I'm not going to say his age or anything in case he's listening. But
I think we can all say that, like, what – if only we knew then what we know now. I mean,
yeah, a lot of it's trial and error, like you know that, but like that's the reason that you have coaches that have had experience doing what they do. Like we brought Mike on and said Mike's done this for years. Mm-hmm. He's confident. He's got a great beard. Like you know, we got to get him on. We got to get him on here so we can he can share his experience with people that are
what's
getting
up,
into
man?
The sport.
Funny?
My other job won't allow me to grow facial hair. That's my excuse because this is about 4 months worth of growth.
It's actually
the only guy that doesn't have to shave daily.
You got good hair and a good beard. You got good hair and I have a good beard, but no hair. If we fuse,
there might be something here. The colors are a little off, but the colors are a little off.
It's good to have a team, man.
Colors are a little off,
but yeah, like so. Going back to like, if we knew then what we know now, I mean, I'll be the first one to say I for more than better half of my early 20s. I tried to out-train the shittiest diet on the planet. Because I tried it, like... I tried it all, like...
I still do that.
Yeah, but, like... like, I tried to be a bodybuilder. I tried to be a bodybuilder and get those six-pack abs while still going out on the weekends, taking down a case and a half or whatever. And, like, it's just, like, that's the thing, like... What we see a lot, too, is that we see, you know, going back to the Instagram stuff and, like, seeing, like, well... Instagram influencer A looks like this year round, right? It's like, yeah, but if he does or she does, they are probably very regimented. And you going out to Applebee's at 2 a.m. Wherever. That's not going to work for it.
Kevin
almost
named his note on his favorite meal. I was waiting for it.
He was going to. He was going. Applebee's came up and he was ready for it. So
I'm more Carmella's, the 2-for-1 apps, man. Come on. And 2-for-1 drinks.
Free shout outs all day long to restaurants.
But yeah, so like, I feel like that, you know, even with the lifting, like, you know, we talked about what works for one won't work for the other. Like Larry Wheels, right? What works for Larry Wheels might not work for.
Some people are just freaks. Yeah. Some people have to work for it. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, people can say whatever they want. You know, you get those guys who are like, I outwork genetics. I do this. I do that. But at the end of the day, genetics play a huge role.
You combine genetics with hard work, man. It is like I've seen it work with people with superior genetics.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lack of, you know, specific willpower in certain areas of the process.
Yeah.
And you see, like, man, like, this person's got super potential. But they said, lock this in. And those are the things you can change. Those are the things you can change.
And you see, at the same time, you see people with no, like, not that great of genetics make something out of themselves. And people with great genetics, you know, never become anything because there's no work ethic there. So
yeah, they got it. Like, I'm happy with it. And there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. But if they're in their mind upset. You know, that's an issue.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves when people say genetics don't play a role. Get the
out of here. Let me tell you something. Genetics, specifically in like bodybuilding, you know, I would say absolutely in bodybuilding, but
yeah,
genetics don't play a role. And then you got people like Half Thor Beyonce, and he's 6'9", 440 pounds.
Yeah,
he just worked for that. He got that over.
Like,
you know?
I mean,
took his vitamins, and he just ended up that way. So,
like with everything that's said out there, like, you know, whatever narrative it is, like, you have to look at it. And I think that's what's the biggest issue with our industry, is that people take something and they just run with it. They take something that's fact in nature, and then they'll form a bullshit narrative, and then they get people, like, listening to them, believing them.
Influencers, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how this whole thing started in the beginning, I think,
you're
talking about.
This is the idea. Yeah. Instagram, but, like, kind of first full circle of it. I mean, you can... Be careful with influencers. Like, I'm not saying don't listen to influencers.
No, definitely not.
But I'm saying... When you do that, use caution and use your mind. What is this going to benefit me, and why? What is this? What are they doing this for?
Educate yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Educate yourself. That's it. Sure. If I can go on Instagram right now and tell you that, I don't know, drink this case of Arnold Palmer and you're going to get stronger. Well,
I got the perfect one.
But why though?
I got the perfect one for right now too. I was thinking about it the other day. It's just like, because this is like one of my biggest pet peeves in our industry. Is like. Okay, fact in nature, right? Intense acute exercise will lower the immune system. We're in a pandemic. Don't exercise. Just be a piece of shit all day, because we cannot afford you to have your immune system be lowered to get this thing, right?
Are we going into the pandemic talk?
No, but again, like, there's...
The pandemic talk is coming. I don't think we have enough memory on my computer to go on that.
But a fact in nature...
There's going to be a whole bunch of beeps in
that. A fact in nature... That intense exercise will lower the immune system acutely. And I can run with it and form a bullshit narrative that, no, okay, yes, acutely it might lower your immune system, but obviously we've seen tremendous studies and tremendous things that it does to benefit your immune system. So it's just like, I feel like they hear something, like a lot of people will hear something on an Instagram video or a YouTube video, and then they'll run with it.
Mainstream media.
They'll bleed for it, man.
I shared a post the other day. It was like a cycle of like how things get out. And it's like a research article with a p-value of whatever. It was like, you know.
That too.
Yeah.
Research, I mean.
You don't go over there and go, oh, could be, could have, could. It's like, and it turns into this, you know, remember that whisper drill you did when you were a kid? Like whispering in your ear across the
telephone.
See what it comes out at the end.
What was at the end? Yeah. Never came out with the same message.
You said it a few times today, or in the beginning of the podcast. That's why almost every question I get answered, or like asked, it depends.
It depends.
Like a lot of questions that we get asked, we have to come back with it depends, because there's multiple different outlets, and like, again, that's where we have to kind of, if you're going to listen to somebody religiously, maybe like, you know, educate yourself on it too.
You want to get proficient at something, or know the actual, like, question your own beliefs, question everything you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
and see. See if you can outprove, like, it's when anything, like in research, you try to outprove what you have, mm-hmm. what you think. And if you can't at the end of the day and it's working for you, you know, then run with it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, the conversation was supposed to, you know, obviously stick to just, like, influencers and following these things that, you know, may not have any carryover to what you're actually trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And how many people are in the gym today that are getting ready for, you know, one rep maxes in 8 weeks from now? And their goal set, like, I'm 2 months from now, I'm maxing out on this date. So, not many. I can probably tell you that.
Yeah, the biggest thing I can say, and is, you know, a lot of coaches out there will thank me for this, but stick to the fucking program.
Stick to the program. Yeah, amen.
Stick to the
this.
Fucking program.
Stick to it. That's listen. It.
Seriously.
Stick to the program.
I can curse
because
on
you, right? You are done. We're good. There's no taking it back.
Too late.
Now.
Too late. Yeah.
Stick to the program, because if you succeed, then we do too.
Yeah.
And we want nothing more
everybody benefits.
Than for you to succeed and tell all your friends how great we were. That's pretty much what it comes down to, right?
And you know what? If I have you programmed for 8 or 10 weeks and you stick to the program and it doesn't work, then I'm to blame.
Yeah.
Now, I will sit back and think, what did I do wrong? There's no one to blame but the coach at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Agreed.
Anything else you want to add to this little podcast?
No pandemic talk. We're out on that.
We'll do pandemic talk. That's going to have to be a separate one, though. That's going to be a long one. This might be a 4-hour
podcast. Might be a little heated podcast. Yeah. That podcast might get a little heated.
That blood pressure is going to... We're going to need more...
Are we... When's phase four?
Who cares? We're already open.
Ooh, that's that on air? Was that on the air?
Yeah. What do you mean? Come on down. Personal training services. I haven't heard anything different. Have you?
I don't know what you're talking about. The gym was closed? The gym was closed? I never know.
All right.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we hit a lot of good points.
I think we hit good points, too. Guys, if you're still listening at this point, I want to thank our newest addition to Orenda Whole Health Solutions, Mike Lackey. Mike, what's your Instagram name?
At mlack15.
He's also at mlackey at teamorenda.com. That's his email address. Kev, what's your handle?
You don't know your handle?
K Conley 520.
I had a change.
Or Kevin.
Need something cooler.
Yeah. I need something cooler.
Mad Mike Lackey.
Now that I'm bald, that can play into it. Like,
you really want to? I don't know. You gonna dub yourself with a bald name?
I'll come back with a better name next time.
Or you know who I'm gonna go for? I'm gonna
you
go
for.
You
can't nickname yourself. So if that's what you're trying to do right now, you gotta wait for us to come up.
If somebody else has to come up with the nickname,
that is rule of nicknames.
Most of my nicknames are not good. It's like more like.
Well,
shit.
We're gonna. Oh,
They're not business oriented, but let's hear one.
It could be Fresh Cakes at fucking.
Fresh Cakes. I'm not fresh gonna cakes ask where Fresh Cakes come from, but
I never was a shoehead, so I wouldn't know.
Fresh Cakes.
High school nickname. Fresh Cakes.
Fresh Cakes.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back with some more really great conversations. If you have any things you want us to talk about, feel free to message us, comment on the video. We'll be more than happy to talk about anything that is interesting. Or not.
Hashtag Upstate Empire Fitness Podcast.
Yes, sir. Strongest gym in Utica.
Strong.